This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Everybody's here to Captain Ron. He's got the drones ready to roll. We got Robert.
I don't know where he's going in the fog.
Oh, low.
Low. Low Very drones low. Today. Low. Yeah,
between the legs.
Yeah, that's it.
Keep behind
it
the back.
Behind the back with the drones.
Well, Pistol Pete Maravich, old ACC action.
Oh, remember the Vitalis commercial with Pistol Pete and the ball?
I do. That's for old school. I mean, old people.
Hey,
like
Trevor
us.
Lawrence, Vitalis. That's the kind of ad you need to be doing.
Just write the
Not
check.
Subway sandwiches.
Nothing gets done until something gets sold. Otto is back in the Christmas decoration room.
Talk to him before we're done.
He is guarding Mrs. P's refrigerator, and it's totally stocked. Chester is praying to the puppy gods and rooting for Haley Van Lith. There he is. Check him out. Skydiving already on the
Meanwhile, I have lots of leg room here behind the bourbon barrel. I don't know if Alex can get you a shot from the top to see that I have a black lab right here at my feet.
He's a lover, though.
There he is right there. You can see the ears right around the corner. Brother Fuller is ready to go this morning. He is right here.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
That's it.
Brother Fuller. And so, by the way, Captain Ron brought the peanut butter, so be careful. Just saying. About nine this morning, just be careful.
Okay. All right,
I
Professor.
Call them sulfur tablets.
Wait a second, Professor.
Oh,
Professor Packer, ladies and gentlemen, addressing the business school.
Show them the mug.
At Queens College
Queens
yesterday.
Queens University, Wes.
Queens University. Ladies and gentlemen, here is his per diem.
That's it.
For speaking.
There it is.
Oh, the crew. No.
Masks are still mandated on campus.
Look at
Had
that.
To give the lecture with the mask. Got about 24 fine students.
Dr. Bombay had you come in and speak to the class.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Packer, you will never, ever pass my class.
They were great.
Some of you will remember, others will not.
Had a good parking spot. Had the name
on it.
Oh,
we had a good parking spot.
Yes, sir. There it is.
Oh, look at this.
Count on it.
Come on.
Reserved parking.
Oh,
which means if the Ford F-150, if you are in this spot between 9 and 5:30, we will tow you.
Welcome,
and it's expensive.
Mark Packer.
Yeah, I was kind of going to get a magic marker out there and put doctor, but I figured that might be a little bit too much.
Did you feel like you were an academician in there yesterday?
I didn't feel I was. I love doing it, as you well know.
I know.
I like doing it, and I've done it to a lot of places, and I really love talking to college students. I do. And that class was great because it's the principles of marketing, and there was an entrepreneurship to it, which is right down my alley.
Yeah.
So we got into a little Southern Fried football tour and how that got started and trademarked and companies I have sued that have attempted to steal my content.
That you later work for?
That I currently work for one of them. But that legal department going, hey, that's the same guy we're paying him now? That is right.
Yeah.
But I loved it. And they were great. And I applauded them, you know, just to have in-class classes, right? In-person classes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, given what that generation has gone through with COVID and, you know, having our youngest daughter who's last year and a half at Clemson, a lot of stuff was Zoom, virtual. It was just cool to have everybody back in a classroom. So. Whoa. Thoroughly enjoyed.
You
it
know
was
this.
Great.
My daughter graduated in the early stages of the pandemic virtually.
Right.
Had no graduation, no commencement exercise. Just, it's crazy what young people have been able to persevere through and continue to try and make normal now.
I also met the dean of the Humacol Business School yesterday and discussed.
Name was it Philip Bombay, was
no,
it?
No, okay. It was not. And he's a big Virginia fan. And I said, good luck for your boys today.
Boy.
And he watches the show. And we're talking about maybe somewhere down the road teaching Queens University.
You?
Yep. I'd love to do it.
Boy, that would put the move to the...
I'd like to do it.
I know. Mrs. P would like that.
Mrs. P wants me out of the house.
Send you out of here in
possible.
A sweater with a pipe every morning.
Tweed jacket with the...
Absolutely.
With the
Donald Sutherland in Animal House.
Little pipe.
Professor Jennings going out the door.
Yep. I already got a cool briefcase from Italy.
Oh, no question about
I got that.
You got one of the great bags and
that's it.
Travel.
But I loved it. It's fun. The students are great and ask good questions. And they're working on some really cool stuff over there. So I appreciate the opportunity at Queens University.
Nice.
A lot of fun.
Nice. Everybody in Winston-Salem said, tell you hello.
It's my town, man.
I know. Walked right in there, saw a bunch of people.
Grey Poupon, five course.
No.
Four or five spoons and knives and for the lunch.
No. I had a lot of good people, though, in there.
White tablecloth.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Saw a lot of Wake Forest fans. They were excited about the Deacons.
They were until they watched.
Well, you know, big win for the Tigers last night.
Get in all that.
But nice visit to Winston-Salem on behalf of the National Sports Media Association.
As I was driving over to do my dog and pony, I heard you on SiriusXM 84.
Little appearance on Full Ride yesterday.
Chris Childers trying to take a cheap shot.
Chris Childers,
typical.
Yeah, you know.
A little jealousy.
He built me up as the better half of the Packer and Durham program.
And that's fine.
Coach Neuheisel on the way to a tee time, I'm sure, at some point yesterday.
Trying to get 36 in.
Sure. So it was all good.
Yeah.
All good.
Full day yesterday for everybody.
Yeah. We got a good show here today. We got a lot of basketball to get after. We'll get to some of your calls. We got some really interesting coaches' cuts coming up, too, including, I'll call your attention at 8:30. Mike Bray yesterday. Actually, it was from the day before yesterday, prior to the ball game last night with Syracuse, talking about handshake lines. You seen that cut?
I have, and I tell you what, I know we're going to go there. I'm so tired of that.
I know,
topic.
I am too.
I really, it's like, hey, we all agreed to shake hands. No disrespect. It's not that hard.
Right.
You know, you don't win every game.
Right.
It's part of life. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to have some disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
Part of growing up is accepting a loss, looking somebody in the hand and saying, hey, congratulations, good game.
There you go.
And moving, and showing some class and dignity. I mean, what took place in Madison, Wisconsin was an embarrassment to not only two fine institutions
mm-hmm.
and two really good coaches and teams and a league. It was an embarrassment to college basketball.
Yeah.
So if all these leagues, ACC included, are going to give you the sportsmanship PSA, and I'm fine with it.
Right.
So go shake hands and be done with it. If you don't want to shake hands, make a rule afterwards, and don't shake in. I'm good either way.
Right.
Seriously. I'm good either way.
Yeah.
But it's the whole topic this week's it's crazy.
Let's jump to the games. How about we start in Charlottesville, where we told you it would be close. Because why? It's been close. And guess what? It was. 65-61. Duke wins last night. Jeremy Roach, back in his home state, I guess not terribly far from Leesburg, where he and Trevor Keels are both from. Season high 15 last night with 3 rebounds. Played great in the second half. Thought Roach and A.J. Griffin
Excellent.
Were the difference makers in the ballgame, Pack.
Yeah, not Bancaro. No, it's the other dudes. This game was exactly what you thought it was going to be.
Yep.
It was a grinder. It was tough. It was physical. The crowd was great.
Yep.
The ceremonies before the game with Terry Holland, Ralph Sampson, the award to Coach K. Everything about this game was exactly what you thought it was going to be. And you knew it was going to come down to who makes plays late.
Yep.
And, you know, it's 52-51 with about 5 minutes to go. And Virginia had multiple opportunities to make the shot. You just mm-hmm. kind of felt like, man, if they make this shot and get the lead,
right.
the roof's going to blow out. And now Duke's going to have grind. But you know what? Duke always seemed to be one step ahead down the stretch. It was a tremendous game. Great win for Duke. And for Virginia, man, it was that opportunity that was right there. They just yep. didn't have enough offensive oomph, if you want to make that shot, Wes, to get over the hump.
Kihei Clark pulled his best Steph Curry last night. 25 points, half dozen threes. He was 6 of 9 from the floor.
Especially the first half.
Yeah, the rest of the team was just 3 of 15 from behind the line.
This felt like a vintage ACC game, though, right? I mean, given the hype, you knew what was at stake. Like I said, the atmosphere was spectacular. It was great.
Yeah.
And here's Duke, right, trying to win this ACC regular season outright for the first time since 05-06, knowing what was at stake with the revenge factor tied into it all.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a great night of hoops. That was a really fun, entertaining game.
Virginia had 20 points in the paint. That was 32 less than what they had in the first game.
You know, that might have something to do with coaching, don't you think? These two guys, you want X's and O's in college basketball. Those two guys last night, about as good as it gets. Mm-hmm. Tony Bennett and Coach K. You knew there would be some serious adjustments after what happened at Cameron Indoor.
Interesting you mentioned this, though. It was Griffin and Roach down the stretch last
That's right.
night. And again, A.J. Griffin has proven to be a terrific closer for Duke. Big shots, understands the moment, buys in, doesn't mind the ball in his hand. And this is different than the 27 he got at Carolina. This is a guy who wanted the ball late and did something with it. Now, you can say this is a development piece. I would tell you, I think Griffin's had it all along.
I agree.
It's just a matter of how the ball gets to him.
Well, Kay was yelling at him, shoot the ball.
Right.
Right. I mean, he had a couple shots going haywire, and he was like, oh, I don't know if I need – then he took over. I thought this game last night was great because somebody had to go win it. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds goofy, but that was one of those, man, like I said, 5 minutes ago in the game, you're like, man, who is going to win this right. thing? It was a tremendous contest.
Well, after the ball game, Coach K on the young freshman, A.J. Griffin.
I'm really proud of A.J. because he had such a tough shooting night. But we have confidence in him that his next shot's going to go in. And three of his next shots went in the last 4 minutes, and God bless, you know, so it just worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you watched the game last night, when it was basically over and Griffin went to the sideline, you could see Kay I would have loved to have been a fly on his shoulder to hear that conversation, mm-hmm. because that was, you know, son, I told you, let's go. And he just stepped up and made plays.
I'm with you. It's going to be really – you know, for all the – and again, I'm not taking anything away from Paolo Banchero. I'm not. He's a terrific player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Skill set, size, the whole nine.
Line of upside.
Correct. Nor am I taking anything away from Alondis Williams. But in terms of impact, here in the second half of the season, you could argue since February 1, A.J. Griffin has been – chips to the middle of the table in the ACC. That guy goes and gets it done.
Yeah, he's not afraid of the shot.
Ooh.
And I think if you're Coach K, you love that. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody will concentrate on Banchero, but you know what? That leaves somebody open. And,
right.
You know, Keels have been really good. Man, he goes to the basket. He's a bull. He is just a load going to the rim. So, Duke, when they have their act together and they're dialed in and they play really good defense, they'll be a tough out. And I'm telling you something you don't already know, but that was a great game last night. That game felt like a deep NCAA tournament game last night.
Yeah, well, guess what? Brian Ives to the rescue. We told you yesterday it might be close, and our producer / chief researcher at times, Brian Ives, says average score of the last 14 games between Duke and Virginia, 65.9 to 64.4.
Well, we gave you the stat yesterday that six of the last eight
yep.
had been decided by 2 points or less. And really, other than a couple free throws last night with 1 second left, you'd had another game that ended in 2 points. But
yeah.
Again, great win for Duke. For Virginia, you're going to get out of bed today, your fans and everybody else, and go, son of a gun, we were so close on this. Puts a lot of pressure on the Hoosiers moving forward. 11-7 in the league. You know, the double bye is out as far as I'm concerned for Virginia.
Yep.
Now the question is, can you get in the NCAA tournament? They cannot afford a hiccup down the stretch.
Well, you mentioned that. Carolina's narrow field widened last night.
North Carolina, the Tar Heels had a great night
and didn't play.
Did not play.
And didn't play and doesn't play until Saturday in Raleigh.
Exactly right.
I mean, they beat Louisville on Monday night, and Carolina's been winning ever since.
Yeah, if you need Syracuse to lose, got it. Need Wake to lose, got it.
Yeah.
Need Virginia to lose, got it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a perfect night for North Carolina
from a
double bye perspective.
We could tell you that also in the standings last night, the win by Clemson against Wake Forest knocked them a game. There it is, right there. You see the game and a half difference now. Remember, Miami wins a head-to-head on Carolina. Notre Dame wins a head-to-head on Carolina. But the Tar Heels now have found themselves, at least some for the time being, separated from the scrum there, Pac, in play for the double bye, potentially as the four seed.
We're going to get to Wake in a second here. I got to tell you, as far as the big picture goes, that was an atrocious loss.
Tough loss last night for the Deacons.
No, not tough. An atrocious loss.
Okay, we're going to go that way.
Who you lost to, what they had on their floor, and what was at stake for you.
Right.
As far as the double bye, the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
That was about as that's about as bad a loss as you can have.
Only thing would have made it worse was it be at home, perhaps.
Other than that.
Yeah.
But we'll get to the Deacs.
Yeah. And remember, too, we got Notre Dame to cover last night. They beat Syracuse. Boston College with a road win at NC State, and Virginia Tech beat Georgia Tech last night. That was the late game. Tell you what got workout last night. Remote. The previous button.
We had too many games going on at the same time.
Five. Had four at one time and then one late.
The problem with last night was, again, if you're a hoops junkie, you loved it. But there were too many games on at exactly the same time. It seemed like the scores were exactly the same. We had too many 2-point, 3-point games going on at the exact same time last night.
Then we had a national game with 3 overtimes.
Providence game was awesome, too.
They had rain delay.
Tell you what, man. Old Ed Cooley up there at Providence, he's doing the job. Good dude, great coach.
Oh, great guy.
Fans are awesome up there.
Former ACC assistant.
They are having an incredible year.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Show number 572 for those keeping score.
I got that right today.
Finally. Finally got caught up. We are sneaking up on 600, by the way.
That will be a coat and tie day.
Coat and tie.
On the Packer
Every
and Durham 100 program.
Shows. That's what we do.
Unless we're on location.
I ain't wearing no coat and tie on location.
That's what I said, unless 600 happens to be on location somewhere.
Well, every 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 600, that's a coat and tie.
Yeah.
No matter where we are.
Okay. Well, if we're on location.
We're on location next Friday.
We are. We're going to be at the Greensboro Coliseum Complex for the ACC Women's Basketball Tournament.
Get the shoe blimp ready.
And we're going to be there at 7 a.m. Now, the games, I think, start at noon, but they don't open the building till 10:30. Our show will be done by the time the building opens, I believe. So we may miss seeing some of the folks who would like to come by, say hello, that kind of thing.
You're going
to
miss me.
Yeah, we'll be
in. I got to go.
We'll be in the wind. Once it's in, unfortunately, we all have other appointed rounds.
I definitely
on Friday. But we're looking forward to being at the Coliseum Complex next Friday. And then a week from Friday, we will be at Barclays Center at 7 a.m. We're going to stop on the street and buy a bagel before we go in.
49 Remsen Street.
Yeah, we're going to go by and see where Packer used to live.
Yep, 49 Remsen Street.
All right, let's get to Little John. Clemson, losing streak coming in. Tigers coming off a loss at Louisville. They lose their best player after a minute last Saturday at the Yum Center against the Cards. So their back's up against the proverbial wall last night, and here comes the most surprising team in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Feeling pretty good after a home win against Notre Dame. What could possibly go wrong, right?
Just about everything.
Yep.
If you're
Chase Hunter out of Westlake High School in Atlanta, who a lot was expected when he started, has slowly matured into a factor for the Tigers, starts again last night. He's been a starter since early in the conference season. He goes for a career-high 21 on 10 of 12. And the Tigers beat the Deacs convincingly. 80-69. It was a 7-11 point game most of the night, Pack.
Wake Forest never led in the game. PJ Hall, Clemson's best player, does not play. Wake has everything in the world to play for. Double bye, NCAA tournament.
Right.
And they got smoked last night. Now, Wake fans, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. That was a horrific loss. That's a bad loss. For Brad Brunell, man, that may be their best win of the year. Seriously.
Yep.
When you take into consideration who was not on the floor for that team.
Two best players.
Two best players, without question. Basically, 25 points a game are not in the game.
Right.
Wake's got everything and playing with momentum. Clemson's on a 6-game losing streak. It's late in the year, just trying to get to the finish line here. And the Tigers thumped them. And Wake Forest, man, what a difference a night makes. I mean, 24 hours ago, you're sitting there going, look in the standings. You look who you got left to play.
You're thinking, like, hey, you know what?
We went out here. We're going to have the double bye. Mm-hmm. We're in the NCAA tournament. We got a day off in Brooklyn. You lose last night, and all of a sudden, almost everything changed.
Right.
Just feels that way. The double bye is now an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
NCAA tournament is a real question mark because your strength of schedule stinks. And you get a loss like that. And that, like I said, cannot emphasize enough. You just cannot lose those games. If you're going to say, hey, we're a bubble team, in, out, wherever you want to put us in bracketology, you cannot lose to a team like Clemson with their resume this late in the year.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
No, I'm with you on that. And I think last night you see kind of the weirdness of this particular year, right? I mean, because Clemson is down 2 battleships. Wake Forest last night gets the ball in the front court in the first half, and all of a sudden – Clemson is in a zone. You could count on one hand, maybe 2 hands, the number of times Clemson's played zone during the course of the year. The Tigers are in a zone last night, and all of a sudden, Wake struggles to shoot. Jake LaRavia missed his first 9 shots from the floor.
Couldn't throw in Link Hartwell.
And then Alondis Williams gets in foul trouble. And the next thing you know, they're playing uphill on the road.
Against a team with nothing to lose and playing free. I give Clemson a lot of credit because it would have been real easy to go, man, let's just get to Brooklyn, right? Well, we've lost 6 in a row. The 2 best players aren't going. Wake's hot. Got no shot. Nonsense. They never trailed in the game, Wes.
So, hat tip to the Tigers last night.
Great win for I think it was Clemson's best win of the year and Wake's most important loss of the year.
I want to give you this Steve Forbes quote because I think it's important, especially for a guy who is building the program he's building. Quote, in basketball, you get what you deserve, and we got what we deserve tonight. I was worried about our physicality coming into the game, and we played as poorly as we have played around the basket on offense all season.
That's right.
So the Deacons, who are geared to score in a variety of ways, last night didn't feel like they competed at the basket.
They didn't.
Yep. Well, Louisville comes to the Joel and then NC State to close the regular season. By the way, Wake gets a bye at the back end of the regular season. Well, look at BPI's numbers.
Well, I mean, again, assuming BPI ever gets one right, they got 3 of 5 right last night. But let's just say for argument's sake, they're right here. Wake ends up 13-7. The question now becomes, is that good enough? If you're 23-8 and 13-7, given the resume, given all the analytics, whichever one you happen to love, whether it be RPI or KenPom or the net or whatever, BPI, is that good enough? I would suggest, Wes, you better not have an early exit in Brooklyn. That would be what my suggestion would be if you're Wake Forest.
I think it may be time to whistle in Joey Brackets next week.
Wake played themselves right into a headache last night.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did.
Sure did. And by the way, Louisville and NC State aren't going to drive your bus very much.
No,
whether
you win.
Like
that game
last
night.
Numbers.
You get no credit for the win. You get destroyed for a loss.
Right.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
But the Deacs become – and really, it's must-win time for Wake Forest now, given what they laid that egg last night. They got to win out next week, and I think they need to win at least 1, maybe 2 in Brooklyn.
I would not disagree with that. May have to find a way to get to the semis.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And let me tell you something. Top 4 to the semis is a rare bird since 2000 at the tournament.
And if you're Wake Forest, you are the biggest NC State fan moving forward. Ooh. Because NC State gets North Carolina Saturday in Raleigh. And that's a place where NC State, apparently it's against the law to win a home ACC game. They're 1-8 there.
So it would just be
typical,
prophetic
right.
for NC State to beat Carolina, wouldn't it?
Right. I mean,
well, they did last year in the COVID.
Yeah, well, that's last year.
Okay.
But if you're a Wake Forest fan, you've got red and white pom-poms out this weekend because you need North Carolina to lose. You need North Carolina to lose to State. You need them to lose to Syracuse and then take your chances with the Duke game. But that was a really pivotal loss last night for Wake.
You know, as we move on to South Bend, I want to point out that we'll hear from the voice of victory coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But I was thinking about our producer, Josh Macri, last night during the course of the event at Purcell Pavilion because I kept seeing the score and flipping back last night, wearing out the remote. And every time I got there, it was like a 1-2 possession game. Did you notice that?
We had 12 ties, 15 lead changes in the game.
Out of Charlie Mack last night.
12 ties, 15 lead changes, and crazy streaks and runs and it was a fun game.
Yeah. I
mean, it was a back-and-forth deal. And Syracuse, much like Wake Forest and every Virginia and everybody else, you know, if you're going to run and get into this conversation, you got to go on a crazy run. This is the start of an amazing, tough stretch for Syracuse. They had a chance last night, didn't get the job done on the road.
Let's go to the highlights. Paul Atkinson, 20 points, career-high 17 rebounds. Look, we get caught up, and I'm as guilty as anybody. We get caught up talking about Wesley, Leshesky, Goodwin, Hub, right? We have not given the young man from Yale his due at all, Pac. We just haven't. And I'll tell you this.
Speak for yourself.
I'll say this. He's had a tremendous, not a good, he's had a tremendous second half to the ACC.
A great game last night,
yeah,
that's for sure.
Iris scored the last 7 of the game. Orange missed their last 3 shots. I feel like that's where the remote control paid the price at the Voice of Victory house. Notre Dame, 20 wins for the 16th time, and Mike Bray's 20 seasons. Second most league wins in their 9 years in the ACC. They were. So there you go. Paul Atkinson, 5 of 10, 20 points, 17 rebounds, 4 assists.
Syracuse up next. Here comes Duke to the Dome. Syracuse after that, road trip to Chapel Hill. Syracuse after that, let's go play Miami to close things off. That's a tough stretch. I'll go back to our standings again, as I said about a month ago. There's lefties and there's righties. Everybody on the right side, you got a rocket in Brooklyn. Syracuse, enter. You know, they never left, but that's where they are. Right after Virginia, just draw the line. And now I think for Virginia, they're going to have a run in the ACC tournament.
How about, just a thought here, how about the 8-9 game if we went today, Syracuse, Florida State? Good
Florida,
heavens.
Well, Florida State's, they've lost 8 of 9. Florida State right now can't
put
the line
up. But I mean, in terms of brand names playing an 8-9
game?
That's
fine, but how about what you'll have on the floor, Wes? I'm going to get in the real world. Right now, Florida State, Leonard, now if Leonard was healthy, first of all, he wouldn't be 7-10
That's
if
right.
he was healthy.
There you go.
The problem with Florida State is they don't have any dudes.
That's it.
They got 4 starters on the bench.
Fair point.
Everybody's hurt.
All right, we can't look ahead to Brooklyn yet. Let's go to Saturday's schedule here because Mark already gave you the edge here. You've got Wake Forest pulling for NC State, who hosts Carolina at noon on ESPN. Virginia Tech's at Miami.
That's a game. There's your game.
Clemson's at Boston College. More on the Eagles and Wolfpack in a moment. Florida State at Virginia. Georgia Tech at Notre Dame. Duke, Syracuse, and Louisville at Wake Forest Saturday night in primetime.
We got a lot of left versus right games on here, but that Virginia Tech-Miami thing is the one that pops to me. We'll get more into that tomorrow.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, it is a Thursday. This week's been flying by, man.
Really?
Feels that way to me.
Well, a lot on
week.
Your plate, you know.
Yeah, I'm
full
always busy.
Course load of instruction, things like that.
That's it. Yeah. You got it.
So there you go.
All right, let's talk about these other games.
All right, let's go to Atlanta last night. Kind of was interested to see this one, just simply because here's Georgia Tech off the overtime loss at Syracuse. Virginia Tech off the loss to Carolina and Blacksburg. You know, Hokies are kind of in that mix there behind Virginia with Syracuse, right?
They're not in the mix. They're right there in the middle.
Stuck in the middle.
They're stuck in the middle. Got no shot at being in the double bye.
Right.
Got no shot being the NCAA tournament unless they do have some crazy run down the stretch, which they're capable of doing. I still think they're a dangerous team in the tournament.
So a lot of optimism.
You're just being real.
I know
I'm
you're
not
being real.
Spin something I don't believe
that's
is true.
That's right. I agree. So let's go to Atlanta to see kind of how Virginia Tech responds after the discouraging loss to Carolina. Well, the answer is the Hokies come out and start gunning. There's Naheem Aleen. Justin Mutz was terrific. Great assist. Aleen again, young man from Buford, went to Mountain View High School in the Atlanta area. Can't tell you how many times I've seen this story play out. Some kid from the area shows up in Midtown and all of a sudden starts ripping it. Keve Aluma, another big night. Georgia Tech is going to look back this morning and find themselves 4 times with the ball in the final 2.5 with a chance, right, to take the lead or tie and not able to get it done.
Well, you said yesterday that they're such a Jekyll and Hyde team that you're really not sure what you're going to get. I mean, they give you nights where their hair's on fire like they were against Pitt, and you're like, oh, where'd that come from? They give you nights where NC State comes down there and has them down 29 at the half. They kind of gave you a little bit of that because they got off to a good start last night, and you're thinking, hey, Virginia Tech, man, you got to get out of the cobwebs of that North Carolina game, start making some shots. And eventually they did. They kind of grinded them in the second half. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech gets the win, 9-8 in the league, kind of stuck right there in the middle. Again, that opportunity with North Carolina, like Virginia last night with Duke. Yeah, it was there. You just didn't get the job done. Now all the pressure goes to postseason in Brooklyn, as far as I'm concerned, for the Hokies.
Keve Aluma, double-double. Darius Maddox, that's a name to keep an eye on. And I thought Corey Alexander made an interesting comment on Saturday about it's Maddox's defense. It's earned him more playing time as a sophomore. He went for a dozen off the bench. He actually had his own 10-2 run last night in the ballgame. And that was the difference in some respect in a 4-point win. So
Virginia Tech, Miami – Saturday is a really important game. I think for both of them in the sense of Miami, hey, you know what? Life got a little bit easier as far as that double bye goes.
Yep.
they're getting a little bit closer from that perspective. Their guards have been great. We know how tremendous this first game was with Moore's crazy half-court shot for the win. And Virginia Tech still playing their best ball, right? I mean, that North Carolina game, take that out of the mix. They kind of feel like they've turned the corner a little bit. I think this is going to be the most important game of the weekend as far as the interest level. So I'm just giving you the heads up on the Packer game of the week on Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's this one right here, Virginia Tech at Miami. Yeah.
Well, I don't disagree. Canes at 12-5. Hokies are now 9-8. Okay, that takes us to Raleigh. We'll cap the busy five-night schedule or five-game schedule on a Wednesday night in the ACC with Boston College, who was impressive again last night.
Play hard. Yep. I keep telling you, their record's not great, but I'll tell you what, I just like the way they play. Mm-hmm. They get after you. Yeah, they still have talent, and they got to go get more guys to be really competitive in the league. But it was pretty obvious last night who came ready to play again, and yep. NC State made a run to kind of get back in the game, and BC went, catch you later. We're going to go up by a dozen and see ya. NC State now 1-8. At home against ACC teams. Their only win, Virginia. And don't you know the Hoos look back at that and go, good grief. Mm-hmm. Can we have that one back?
Sure.
A lot of teams are going to be able to say that.
You saw that masked man, Quentin Post, last night, 18 points. Jaden Zachary is somebody to keep an eye on for BC. He had 16 last night. Eagles had a 12-0 run midway the second half took a 10-point lead. And
good night.
Led by 7 the rest of the way. Darion Sebron, 17 in the first half. BC shot 54% in the first half. Sebron was terrific, but nobody else helped last night.
Go back to that home thing. You know, you've got to be good at home, Wes. Mm-hmm. You have to. I mean, if you're not good at home, what are you going to do? But 1-8 at home?
How about that?
It's the ACC?
We talk about, you know me, I talk about home court winning percentage all the time.
1-8.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Well, that's going to send some folks to the books to find out the last time somebody. Well, you know what it does? BC went winless in the league. Pitt went winless in the league, but, you know.
Yeah, but you know what it does, though, for your home fans?
Ooh.
You know, and NC State, listen, they want to win desperately. You're seeing it with the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people are fired up about what Wes Moore's doing, but you can't be bad at home. You just can't. I don't care what the sport is.
Right.
You want to find fans from an apathetic standpoint? Just stink at home for a while. People will go, hey, I got better things to do. And guess what they get this weekend? Their favorite comes to town. Light blue.
And you know how that game goes in that building when years are like this. There'll be some folks wearing the bold boys in bashful blue coming over there to.
Oh, and North Carolina's got everything to play for. Like again, North Carolina was the biggest winner of the night last night. They were. Yeah. We had five games going on, and North Carolina sitting there on the couch going, wow, Virginia, they lost. Wake, they lost. Syracuse, they lost. Uh-huh. This is pretty good.
Yeah.
What a nice – I mean, but now NC State, Carolina this weekend.
And then Syracuse and Chapel Hill Monday night. So, I tell you what, for fun, why don't we do this? You know, since we are live, local, and late breaking, if you will, let's keep BPI accountable, shall we?
They had a great night. What else is new? It's like rolling out of bed and brushing your teeth.
They were 3 for 5.
You do it every day.
BPI, that gets you a big league contract right there. 3 for 5 gets you max contracts in the majors.
Yeah, you know, guess what? Do you see any baseball up there, Wes?
I don't see any baseball.
That's
period.
What I thought. So, 3 or 5. What did I tell you yesterday?
Duke was a winner.
Wait a minute. What did I say yesterday? BPI, here's their 5. I promise you they won't get all 5, right?
They did not get all 5.
And they were fortunate to get 3. BPI is a joke. I'll say it. 100th time.
NC State.
Even Jay Billis couldn't explain it to me yesterday.
NC State was 74.
Jay Billis, the smartest guy in college basketball, and could not explain it yesterday on the show. And then the guys in the BPI office cut us off the air.
That did happen. Billis got taken off the air he started talking about BPI.
Over here.
Yeah,
not
that
lying.
Did happen.
BPI.
NC State was 74% last night.
Quality. Not quite as good as the Carolina 94% over Pitt. But, that was my favorite one of the year.
Wake was 52.6, so that's a 50-50 ball in some
ways. It was not. That was a loss.
Virginia Tech was almost 79%. They won.
And that was close.
Duke was almost 75%.
That was close. They really had a chance last night.
And Notre Dame was 69% against the Voice of Victory.
Again, 12 ties, 15 lead changes. They had a chance last night to go over. They were very fortunate to win 3 of 5.
If just a word to those of you, our loyal viewers and listeners.
I don't like BPI.
If
I like MPI, Mark Packer information.
If BPI ever throws the no-no,
oh, they've thrown
like
no-nos
on a multi-game night, like miss all four, maybe all five, my man here.
Be all over him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be ugly. It'll be ugly.
When Jay Billis, the smartest man in college basketball, has no idea how it works, that's all I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it from me. Like I said, I'm down here with dogs in the basement 18 hours a day.
16 steps.
16 steps up, 16 down, radio in the afternoon, TV in the morning. I never leave the house.
The walk of miracles.
But let Jay Billis tell you, from a predictability, I'm sure how that works. Amen, brother. Couldn't agree with you more. Been saying it for almost 3 years here on ACC Network. Get no answers from anybody on it. Nothing. It's like Packer and Durham merchandise. Got nothing. Zero.
There is going to be a time where I feel confident in our future at the ACC Network.
Future is a shaky word.
Where somebody is going to walk up to Mark and they're going to go, Mark, I am Steve Doe. I am in charge of FBI and BPI.
You know why that's not going to happen? Wes, you know why that's not going to happen?
Why is that not going to happen?
Because it doesn't exist.
Okay.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget we got a doubleheader of women's basketball for you tonight, and we got a quadruple header for you on Sunday. Number 3, NC State. Number 23, Virginia Tech. Two of the rising stars, if you will. State there. Virginia Tech trying to get there, and now in the top 25 with Kenny Brooks. That is 6 o'clock on the final day of the regular season of ACC women's basketball. The regular season champs at the Castle to see the Hokies. Hey, Kunane and Kittley, that alone is worth your time at 6 p.m. on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
I tell you, between that game and Louisville and Notre Dame seeing each other at the end, there's still some jockeying for position as far as the double bye goes with the ladies as well.
So there you go. We'll kind of get you caught up on that after a full schedule tonight. But first, oh, what a great visit yesterday. Deja Kelly of North Carolina joined us, and she was sensational. Covered a lot
future
of things.
Future host of this show?
Yeah, it actually will be Packer and Kelly sooner than later. I feel confident. She was great.
It's going to be just Kelly.
It may be.
Get rid of the old guys. Yeah. This girl's got talent. These other two bozos we got, what are we doing?
She can put up with the dogs. She's in. But we started with Deja Kelly and the Tar Heels about the tremendous win they had against Louisville last week.
Oh, my gosh. It was crazy, especially when that ball just hung on the rim for like 30 seconds, it felt like. That was wild, but that was a really good game all around. Our student section was amazing, so like the crowd was crazy. It was just a really good environment for us, and we pulled out that big win. It was really exciting.
You know what it also tells you? As terrific as Louisville is, and they're great, and NC State's great, the fact that you knocked off Louisville tells me that this conference, which has been about 5, 6, 7 teams deep ranked all season long, this ACC tournament in Greensboro is going to be no joke, right? I mean, this is going to be tough from the very first day.
It is. It is. And I'm really excited. We're still trying to fight for that double bye, which is exciting. But I think we're in a pretty good spot. And like you said, I think it's going to be a pretty tough tournament for anybody.
All right. You were just named the player of the week in the ACC. I got to tell you, though, I mean, I would have thought you'd have had a couple of these before this point in the season. What have you been most pleased with in your sophomore campaign?
I think just, you know, my consistency with, you know, just the way I'm scoring the ball, the way I'm passing the ball as well. Just all around my playmaking, I think that's what I'm pretty pleased with just because I think it's been pretty consistent throughout the season, and that's helped us win games, a lot of games, I would say, big games. But I think that's what I'm most pleased with.
Big picture, where's North Carolina standing in this fist fight amongst this ACC women's tournament? Because, you know, we talked about it. You've beaten Louisville. NC State, certainly a challenge. Westmore's got a great team. But I don't sense North Carolina backing down from anybody.
You're right. You're exactly right. I think that we have shown that we can compete with anybody in the league, and that we are not, you know, we're not at the bottom. We're at the top. And like I said, we're going to play and act like we're at the top and compete with anybody, you know, treat everybody the same. I think just going in with the same mindset that we want to win, and we're going to compete and do whatever we got to do to win that game. And I think we'll do pretty fine in the ACC tournament. And I'm really, really excited.
You guys are at Virginia tomorrow. You won by 9 the first time about a month ago, as it shows on the screen here. If I asked you the most important characteristic going down the stretch for this team, what's it going to be?
I would say our connectedness. I think we play really connected. We have all season. And I think that's really helped us and really won us big games. Just especially on the defensive end, I think that's where we really locked in. That's what we take pride in, you know, just getting stops, keeping the other team from doing what they do best. And then that leads to our transition game. So I think just us staying connected, you know, throughout the rest of the season, I think that would help us go pretty far in March.
We have enjoyed having Coach Banghart on here several times. Fantastic. I know she's got like a lot of leadership things, and she reads a lot about leadership and all sorts of what translates to players during the course of the season. She would be somebody that I'd be fascinated to play for just simply from the fact of where she can come from in terms of an inspiration piece or an example or anything like that, Deja, to move your team forward, maybe even after a tough loss or a great win.
Yeah, she definitely sprinkles a lot of knowledge on us every single day, whether it's in practice, whether it's in the middle of a game, or just talking to her on the sideline. I think that she's a phenomenal coach. She has done so much for the women's game, and she just knows so much. So being able to pick her brain day by day, I think, is really it's exciting. You know, as a player, it's really special to be able to have someone lead you like that. So like I said, just being able to get knowledge from her each and every day, I think, is really special.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of digging the North Carolina women's team, because the last time we had Courtney on, she was talking about bourbon. And then we get Deja on here. We're talking about Texas barbecue. I'm starting to feel a connection
great
with the North Carolina women's basketball program.
Courtney's going to love that you told one of her players that you're digging the team, because the last time she talked about bourbon.
I'm not saying something that was off the record or off the air.
No, it was definitely on the show.
On the air.
It was.
She was talking about brown water. I'm like, you know, that's... That goes right to the heart. And Deja comes on there talking about Texas barbecue. I'm like, man, what am I missing out on?
Especially
in
because Pac's hooking her up with the Smoke Shack VIP here.
Chris Conger. Write that name down. By the way, speaking of name, image, and likeness.
Oh, boy.
And I do like talking to student athletes in the league about it. And I know it's a delicate balance, right? I mean, you got school, you got sports, and then all of a sudden there's the opportunities that are out there. Have you been able to take advantage of it at all, or has it just been too busy?
I have. I have been, which is really exciting. I'm signed with WME Agency, which is a pretty big agency, and they've just helped me a lot throughout this whole process. You know, everyone's still learning, but I think that they've been helping me do a pretty good job of you know, helping me build my brand, and that's opened up a lot of doors for me. I just signed with Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know if y'all saw that come out. So that was one of my first really big deals. So that's exciting. Yeah, it's all a really exciting process.
All right, so what, like, for example, kind of walk us through this, because there's a lot of folks that hear name, image, and likeness, and immediately as a fan, you go, oh, it's the worst thing for college sports. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. So, like, for Dunkin' Donuts, what are you going to do for Dunkin' Donuts?
So it's a lot of, just endorsement things as far as, like, social media, a couple appearances, things like that. I have my own drink at the Dunkin' on Franklin.
Yeah, I heard that.
If y'all want to go try it, that's exciting. So just things like that, I think, just you know, promoting them.
All right, so like you walk into Dunkin' Donuts, what's your go-to? You gotta get the Deja drink, but what goes with the Deja
exactly.
drink?
So the Deja Kelly drink, it's not all that, but it's to my liking. So it's a cold brew with cold foam. and light ice and 5 pumps of French vanilla.
Five. Exactly. And what's the reasoning behind that? Yeah, you had to have some say-so with that, right?
I don't know. I think it's just the taste for me. Like, usually you get 4 in the drink, but I was like, why not add that extra, you know, extra flavor? so, like I said, it's to my liking, but I think a lot of other people will like it once they order it.
I'll have the Deja, please. That'd be not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, 5. 5 West Durham.
5 pumps of vanilla.
How about that?
Yeah.
I'm not a coffee drinker, so I'm not going for that. But I like the fact she's got a deal. That's sweet.
That is good. Big night of women's basketball. Let's give you the schedule here because we got a double dip for you here on ACC Network. Georgia Tech on the road at Florida State.
Somebody got to win there. Georgia Tech's got to figure this thing out. Nell's got that thing going in the wrong direction. Of course, Florida State steadily improving as the year goes on.
Yep. Miami at Virginia Tech. Carolina on the road at Virginia. Syracuse is at Wake Forest. Number 4, Louisville on the road at Pittsburgh. Game 2 of the doubleheader tonight. Craig Phoenix and the Irish welcome Clemson.
Well, Notre Dame and Virginia Tech are both 12-4 in league play, and we know about how great NC State is. We know how great Louisville is, and really, Notre Dame and Virginia Tech are in a great spot as far as that double bye goes, but they have to win. And keep in mind, Sunday, right, Louisville, Notre Dame, NC State, Virginia Tech. Big challenges coming up over the weekend.
The one to watch, Charlie Cream, who handles bracketology on the ladies' side for us here at ESPN, BC is in his last 4 in, and Duke is in last 4 byes after losing to Virginia. So the Eagles, who've not been to the NCAA tournament since 2006, those two square off tonight, 8 o'clock. That's available on ACCNX.
I'm surprised Duke is there. I mean, Duke, it seems like the second half of the season, they've just gone wrong direction.
Yeah.
But they still got a shot. Miami, the league is so good there.
Yeah. Miami's also won 4 straight as Virginia Tech welcomes them to the castle. Feels like Kenny Brooks' team. You want to have that showdown on Saturday. And here's the logic, or Sunday rather. You want to have that kind of showdown with NC State. Obviously, you want to win. But here's the other logic to this. Just like on the men's side where we talk about having your business in order before you get to the tournament, I think Virginia Tech, who moved into the top 25 and late, according to what we thought, you want to have it taken care of before you get to Greensboro. Right?
You know, the good news for the ladies, unlike the men, I mean, you've got 5, 6, 7 teams ranked on a consistent basis all season long.
Yep.
Much more stability on the ladies' side as we head into the tournament as opposed to the dice roll on the men's side.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.